We're in 1 Samuel, guys, 1 Samuel 19. And this whole session has been the leadership qualities of David. But what do we really know about David? We've had the preacher started it out. Caleb did a great job. Brother Dan was last Sunday, did a great job. But what do we know about David so far? Okay, what else? He's the anointed next king of Israel. And he's still a very young man, if not a boy. What else we know? He was a shepherd boy, yes. He was Jesse's youngest, which in that time was kind of hard for the youngest to get anything. It went from the eldest down, you know. So he was like 8. He thought he might get 3 sheep and a goat. Might have been what he ended up with. He was appointed by God to be the next king of Israel. What kind of pressure did that put on him? He was spirit-filled because the Bible said that he had taken the spirit away from Saul and gave it to David. Okay. He killed Goliath. Pretty brave, or, you know, just real young, didn't know no better, one of the two. But he got rid of Goliath. He even, in chapter 17, verse 46, believed that God would deliver Goliath into his hand before he ever went out to battle that day. So he had that knowledge, that working strength right there. let's see, what else? He was befriended by Jonathan, who, in my mind, was probably supposed to be the next king of Israel. But he was befriended by Jonathan, and we'll talk about that a lot more here in just a second. He became a trusted leader in Saul's government, in Saul's army. You know, Saul relied on him. But you go to chapter 18. This is a funny word, and I like using it. He made Saul wroth. Irritated him, made him mad, scared him. Whatever you want wroth to mean, that's what he did. But I think one of the most telling things to me was back in 18, going to chapter verse 14, is it said that through all the problems that had already happened between Saul and David, he acted wisely. That to me is pretty telling. All right, so today we're going to pick up and find probably 4 more leadership traits that David exhibited out of chapter 19. And chapter 19 is a short little chapter. Pretty good book, though. Of Samuel, 1 Samuel, I'm sorry, 1 Samuel, we're in chapter 19. Trust, to be a good leader, to be a good husband, to be a good, you got to have trust. You got to have somebody you can trust. Verse 4 in chapter 19 says, "And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against thy servant, his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee ward very good," or toward him very good. Now, "for he did put his life in his hands and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for Israel. And soweth it, and doth rejoice. Wherefore, then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without cause?" And Saul hearkened to these words of Jonathan, and Saul swayed. "And the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain." What did David find? David found somebody that would intercede for him. He found somebody he could put his life in his hands. guys, for us as men walking around every day, if we've got three or four guys that we can call a true friend, how lucky are we? How lucky are we? How lucky are we to find somebody that you could go talk to your daddy and tell him not to kill me? You know, that I don't know if I got anybody to do that, but I got some good friends. But that's where we were. That's the first thing that David, in this little passage, was a part of leadership. He had to find something or somebody that he could trust. Jonathan went on, and I'm going to expound just a little bit, went on and explained to his daddy how David had won great battles for him. He'd killed a whole bunch of Philistines. How David had won great battles for Israel. How David had run his affairs in there. And from what I gather, he was a pretty good harp player. I don't know if that had anything to do with it too, but, you know, that kind of thing. But the loyalty and the great achievement that he had given to Saul and to Israel. So that got Saul to a point that he said, okay, I'm not going to kill him yet. It didn't last long. It didn't last long. We go down to 7 and Jonathan called David, and Jonathan then showed him all the things that Jonathan had brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in past times. So he reinstated him back into the court. He was doing exactly what he needed to do when he needed to do it. But, always a but, as a leader, you need to know who to trust. But just as importantly, you need to know who not to trust. Just like we've all got friends that we can trust, we also got other friends that we know need to keep him kind of at arm's length. So that person that he didn't need to trust was Saul. That respite that Jonathan had given Saul, it didn't last long. It didn't last long at all. So the untrustworthiness of Saul stuck its head up through envy, fear, jealousy. Those things can consume a man. They can consume you. They can consume me. They can consume anybody. And they were a constant irritant in Saul's side. They were there every time David did something good. It just got under Saul's skin. Made him afraid. Made him envious. Made him jealous. Remembering the spirit of forgiveness, the Spirit of the Lord has already been taken from Saul, so he didn't even have that to fall back on. All he had was his own petty jealousy, and all of it was turned against David. Okay. In verse 8 through 10, we kind of find out a little more about Saul and why he should not be trusted with anything. And there was a war again. He'd already, well, I'll talk about getting tricked again in a minute. They'd already made a song. The women had sung a song over the last campaign that Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his 10,000s. And that kind of stuck with Saul there. But anyway, there was a war again. And David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter. And they fled from him. And the evil spirit of the Lord was upon Saul, and he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand. And David played by his hand, or with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David, even to the wall with a javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence. I don't know how that happened, but anyway, you got to worry about Saul's spear chunking ability sometimes. But anyway. And he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. You don't need to turn your back on Saul, is probably what David was thinking at that point in time. But all this said was that David now had more victories. He was just heaping coals up on top of Saul's head. He had more victories for him. He had more victories for Israel. And if you put yourself slightly, and I'm not taking up for Saul, but just put yourself slightly in this little mode, how do you feel at work when somebody gets what you ought to have, what you've worked for? A little envious. How do you feel when somebody gets credit for something that you've really busted it to get? It's part of life. It's part of life. So Saul had all of that. And again, like I mentioned, he had not been with the Spirit of God because he had taken it away from him. So he didn't have any truth to fall back on. He didn't have anything to help him. So anyway, you have got to be able, and this is something else that David may have seen. And all of you know my story. I've coached, and I spent the first 5 or 6 years of my coaching career learning what not to do before I figured out what to do. Does that make sense? David is getting prepped to be a king. David is getting prepped to be the king of Israel. And his mentor, the person he's learning from is Saul, the guy that's trying to kill him. What do you think he learned? He may have learned a lot more what not to do as a king as opposed to what to do. Speculation on Steve's part. So there you go. All right. But Saul, in his infinite whatever it was, he'd already tricked David. He had already made him fight Philistines, kill thousands 2 different times. He had already promised one wife, one daughter to him, and backed out on that and gave him another one, which really turned out pretty good. I don't know how many of you got sister-in-laws. They're a little different than your wife. But anyway, that's another joke. I shouldn't have said it. The preacher got on me and told me to be careful, so, you know, I can't help it. But he had taken that one daughter away, gave him another. He had chunked spears at him, what, twice now? And missed him? So anyway, David has got to realize that this is not who you need to turn your back on. So that's untrustworthiness. In this story, the way it comes, there's one more that he trusted. And we'll look at verse 11. Let's start up there. 11 through 14. And Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if you save not your life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through the window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it on the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for a bolster and covered it with cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she looked at him and she said, no, he can't go, he's sick. So he found somebody else he could trust. She hid him. She told him, you got to go, son. You got to get out of here. If you want to be alive tomorrow, you don't need to be here right now. So she led him out the window. And Saul's messengers. That the word messenger doesn't fit. It should be Saul's assassins. That's what it should have, the way it should have been translated in this. But they didn't ask me to help translate it. So he sent his messengers, and his messengers listened to David's wife, and she said, he's sick. He can't go with you now. And they left. And they went back to Saul. Well, at that point in time, verse 17, I believe, and Saul said to Michal, once he came, Now, this is his daughter he's talking to. He said to her, "Why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy that he is escaped?" And Michal answered Saul, "He said unto me, let me go, why should I kill thee?" David did not want to kill Saul. That's what that last statement said right there. But then Saul had the gall to ask his daughter, "Why did you deceive me?" That's what he'd been doing the last forever. But anyway, David found somebody else he could trust. So he's found two things out in these passages. He's got to have trust, and you got to know who you can trust and who you can't trust. But when he left the window, he had to find somewhere else to go. So he decided that he would go to Samuel's house. Now, Samuel was a priest, if you remember, that came and picked him and anointed him. David had gotten to a point that he said, "This is it. I need some help. I need some refuge. I need to be safe for a while." So in verse 18, "So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naiathah." I will butcher words, guys, so just, you know, I could use Nicholson or Commerce or whatever right there, but that's what it is. So what other leadership quality did David just show us? David showed us that he's got to seek the counsel of godly men. You've got to seek the counsel of godly men. He went to the priest that anointed him, and he said, "This is what happened. I need some help. I need some rest. I need some advice." Samuel provided David a physical and spiritual refuge and sanctuary. This was a place where David could hear God. Not that David could talk to God. He could. But he was more importantly wanting to hear from God. How many times in the Bible does it say, "Be still and hear and know"? Wait on the Lord. Listen for the Lord. That was the hardest concept for me to understand, and I still hadn't got it all. Waiting is not something I do. I'm not very patient. But it reminds me when it said that he could go and hear God. I was born and raised listening to country music, and there was a country comedian who had a good voice, Ray Stevens, and he put out a song at one time, "Turn Your Radio On and Listen to the Music in the Air." I'm not going to sing, Dan. You'll be okay. Turn your radio on. Which tells me this is exactly what God does. It's just like a radio station. We go out in a car and we cut the radio on. It's on. It's talking to us. And in my mind that said, God's always talking. We just ain't always hearing. So what David had to find is he had to find a sanctuary where he could physically be safe, physically rest, and emotionally sit and go, "Okay, God, let's see where we're going from here. I need to hear from you. I need your direction." So, as he went, he found godly counsel. And that counsel gave him somewhere to stay, gave him somewhere to rest, gave him somewhere to recharge his batteries. And we're going to skip on down to verse 20. And Saul sent messengers. Saul found out where he was. So here Saul is. He's sending messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God also under the message of Saul, and they also prophesied. Now, he sent messengers twice to his house to get him. He ended up sending messengers twice to Samuel to kill him. But this time, those messengers ran into God. Ran into the Spirit. And they couldn't control it. Now, humor me just a second. I wanted to look up and see what the word prophesy said. And I found it over in a couple of instances. Over in Numbers 11:25, it says, "And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit, and was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease." Cease. They didn't stop. They just kept. So it basically tells me that when the Spirit gets on you, when you run into God, He wants all of you. He wants you constantly. He don't want you kind of like Steve does. Whenever I get in trouble, I'll call him and say, "God, I'm in trouble. I've messed up again." That kind of thing. He wants all of us. And the second one is in the book of Joel. Now, Joel's one of them little bitty books that you don't know what it's about. But in chapter 2, verse 28, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in these days will I pour out my Spirit." So the prophesying was something that God wanted to give to everybody. He wanted you to run into His Spirit. He wants you to run into God and say, "All right, here I am, take over." But anyway, Saul went himself in verse 23 and 24. Now here again, he sent his messengers twice to his house. He sent them twice here. And finally he ended up going again, 23 and 24. "And he went thither to Noah in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went up and prophesied until he came to Noah and Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all day and all night. Whereas they said, is Saul also among the prophets?" I don't know what to think about that. I don't want to be around y'all when y'all lay down naked and start prophesying. That's going to be a little different. But the idea here is God had a hold of the situation. Saul had no control over it. When we are able to give ourselves to the Lord, He wants to have control over all of us. He don't want just a little bit here. He don't want a little bit over here. He don't want just the money in the offering plate here. He wants all of it. All of it. That's what that said to me. But not only did his warriors run into God, Saul ran into God. Big way, big, big way. Now, we've talked about, as a leader, you got to know who to trust. Got to know who not to trust. You've got to be aware and make sure you get counsel of godly men. And you've got to wait and listen for God's leadership. Serving in a ministry can be challenging, can be a challenging endeavor. Sometimes God places us in a situation where we are called to serve individuals who harbor animosity toward us and wish for us failure. David's calling to become the next king of Israel unfolded against the backdrop of Saul's disobedience. David's service includes being a part of Saul's court, his army, and even his family. It seems that David is being prepared for kingship by offering firsthand what a king should be, even though he is serving someone who wants him dead. Saul, he's learning. David's learning. David was forced. God placed David in a situation where he had to minister to Saul. He was under the authority and leadership of Saul. Excuse me, because he was the king. And I still put myself in David's shoes a little bit. How hard would that be, knowing that you are already anointed the next king of Israel, and you still got to sit and wait on it? You still got to do. You got to do the work. You got to spend the time. You got to exert the effort. Even when it's not appreciated, God wants us to spend the time. God wants us to do the work. It's up to Him to reward, I guess would be a good way to put it. Excuse me. One last time. I hadn't talked as much in a long time. So y'all get with me. Y'all be with me. Traits of leadership in this particular passage I pull from: know who to trust, know who not to trust, seek godly counsel, and listen to God. And also, you have to be able to rely on God. He's trustworthy. That's what's got to happen. We've got to be able to trust Him to do exactly what He needs to do. The story of David's trials and ministry and his choices regarding trust and reliance on the Lord serve as a profound lesson to us. We face our Sauls, enemies that challenge our service to God. The chapter highlights the importance of seeking refuge to God, who has the ultimate power over every spirit in the universe. Just as David sought sanctuary in the house of the Lord, we must turn to God in times of trouble, allowing His Spirit to guide us and lead us to a safe place. This chapter also draws parallels to the unique victory Jesus Christ, who sequestered Satan through the Spirit of God. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross stripped Satan of his power and dominion over the ultimate victory over sin and death. In times of trouble, just like David, we must trust God and rely on His Word and Spirit to guide us through the challenges of ministry. So, pretty cool little chapter. It showed the strength that David had and the faith in God that he had.